wonder if she's about to lay eggs. And then they'll think the story is about an unwed mother. The church will accuse me of allotting to something unholy. Again.
He crumpled it up and tossed it with the other attempts.
High up on a tree, taller than all the steeples in all the land, a lonely little bird searched the ground for worms.
Hans covered his eyes and groaned.
No, no, no. What am I thinking? I can't start the story like this. If I say the tree is taller than the steeples, some imbecile will think I'm comparing the tree to God himself and make an unnecessary fuss.
The author sighed and tossed his latest effort aside. Being a writer in a 19th century society could get frustrating at times. The grandfather clock near his desk chimed as it struck 6 o'clock. Hans stood for the first time in a few hours.
I think it's time for a walk, he said.
Hans took his coat and top hat off the rack by the front door and left his home. He was easily recognizable to the other pedestrians as he walked down the street. After a quick glance of his prominent nose and thin stature, there was no denying the famed author was among them. Hans politely tipped his hat to those who gawked at him and then hurried away before they bothered him. Eventually, Hans arrived at the Lange Linie Promenade and had a seat on his favorite bench. The Odesund water ahead sparkled in the remaining daylight. He took a deep breath of salty air, and his mind relaxed for the first time all day. This was Hans' favorite spot to decompress. Whenever his head was filled with too many ideas to concentrate or empty of all imagination, a simple walk to the promenade always took the edge off. If he was lucky, he would find inspiration in the land and waters to take home, and occasionally, if he was really lucky, the inspiration would find him.
"Hello, Mr. Anderson," said a soft voice behind him.
He looked over his shoulder and was delighted to see an old friend. She wore light blue robes that sparkled like the night sky. She was very warm and welcoming, but a stranger to everyone in Denmark except for Hans.
"My dear fairy godmother, it's good to see you," Hans said with a large grin.
The fairy godmother sat beside him.
"You as well," she said. "You weren't at home, so I figured I would find you here. Are you having trouble riding this evening?"
"Unfortunately so," Hans said. "Some days words flow through me like the Nile, and other days I'm as dry as the Sahara. I'm afraid you've caught me in the middle of a drought, but I'm confident rain shall fall again."
"I have no doubt," the fairy godmother said. "I've actually come to congratulate you. We've just heard the news that your fairy tales are being published in other countries. The other fairies and I couldn't be happier. You've been very successful in helping us spread the tales of our world. We're very grateful."
"I'm the grateful one," Hans said. "When you found me as a young man at that terrible school in Elsinore, I was ready to give up writing for good. The stories you gave me to craft as my own inspired me as much as the children they were intended for. I wouldn't have found my way back to storytelling if it weren't for you."
"You give us too much credit," she said. "You knew exactly how to adapt our stories for the current times by adding elements of religion. Otherwise, the societies of today may not have embraced them. The Ugly Duckling, the Snow Queen, the Little Mermaid, and the other tales would have been forgotten, but you've immortalized them."
"Speaking of, how are things in the fairy tale world?" Hans asked.
"Very well," the fairy godmother said. "We've entered quite the golden age. My darling Cinderella married Prince Chance of the Charming Kingdom. Princess Sleeping Beauty was finally awoken from the awful sleeping curse. Snow White replaced her evil stepmother as Queen of the Northern Kingdom. Not since the dragons went extinct has there been such cause for celebration."
"But, my dear, I asked you the same question almost a decade ago, and that was your exact answer then," Hans said. "Even as a child, I was being told the same stories. The fairy tale world must be frozen in time."
"If only," she said with a laugh. "This world moves so much faster than ours, but one day, I'm confident the worlds will move as one. I don't know how or why. I just have faith they will."
They enjoyed the soothing sights and sounds of the promenade. An elderly couple leisurely strolled close to the water. A small dog chased seagulls twice its size. A father and his sons flew a kite in the field nearby, while the mother cradled their newborn daughter. The boys giggled as the breeze blew the kite higher and higher into the air.
"Hans," the fairy godmother said, "can you remember what made you happy when you were a young boy?"
It didn't take him long to remember.
"Places like this promenade," he said.
"Why?"
she asked.
"It's a place of unlimited possibility," he said. "At any moment, anyone or anything could appear. A parade could march through the field.